Morning.
I would like to, excuse me, call the meeting of the Application Review Committee to order. Today's date is June 30th, 2023. The time is 7:33 a.m. The purpose of this meeting is to substantively review psychologist applications. Ms. Folks, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Dr. Meyer?
Present.
Dr. Medina?
Present.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. Agenda three, approval of minutes, for regular and executive session minutes from May 1st, 2023. Are there any changes, additions, or corrections to the regular session meeting minutes? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the May 1st, 2023 regular session minutes?
So moved.
Seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any objections? Hearing none, motion carries. And motion to approve the May 1st, 2023 executive session draft minutes. I can make a motion to approve. So
yes. Yes, so moved. Sorry. It's just you and I.
So, yes. So is that a second?
Yes.
Perfect. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Any objections? Hearing none, motion carries. Moving to agenda number four, discussion regarding approval of psychology applicants. Please, let's see, it looks like we have Dr. Anderson, and then for the two people that are showing just phone numbers, if you could introduce yourself.
Dr. Martin.
Dr. Hammer.
Martin and Hammer. Welcome, both of you. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, so let's start with Agenda A, requesting approval to sit for, actually, no, let's start with Agenda B. Requesting approval for licensure by waiver with Dr. Hammer.
Mm-hmm.
And I can start that one. Is for waiver less than 10 years. She passed the ECCC a couple years ago. Graduated from Kent State, which is APA approved. Submitted 2,000 hours from University of Alabama. Alabama Medical Consortium. There was a verification form that is APA approved. And then postdoc hours ran into a couple of issues. On the form, it says 4,000 hours, mm-hmm. But that could not be completed until August, by the end of August, because it's a we can't count more than 40 hours per week. And so it hasn't been 2 years yet to reach the 4,000 mark. So it looks like it's completed as projected hours as opposed to what's actually been earned to this point. And then we were also missing a training plan. Dr. Medina, what were your thoughts on this one?
I had noted the postdoc hours that they were projected as well. I agree with what you shared.
Okay. So Dr. Hammer, if you could have and you've got 2,000 hours from internship, so you only need another 1,000 hours from mm-hmm. postdoc. So if you could have that completed as to actual hours earned at this point. And then we also need a training plan for that, for your postdoc.
Mr. Chair, committee members, it is likely that I have that. I have to go look.
Okay.
I probably missed it and didn't get it in the file.
Okay. So
I did attach something, but let me know if it works as far as what you guys accept as training plans. I wasn't totally sure. I just kind of submitted what our program gave us as kind of an outline of training. So let me know if that needs to be like more comprehensive or anything.
So yeah, we can double check on that, but we will need a correction to the verification form.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, and you're saying I just have to change that basically to,
it should be actual hours, not projected.
Not projected hours. So okay, whatever you have completed until today, I guess, or last week, you have plenty of hours, it looks like. So.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you.
All right. So, this will be a request for additional information. So we won't be moving this to the board at this time. Let's jump down to D, requesting approval for licensure by universal recognition. And we have Dr. Joyce Martin. Dr. Medina, do you want to take this one?
Yes. Give me a second. Let me find Dr. Martin. So this is the application by Joyce Martin. SID from John Kennedy University. Dr. Martin looks like it's licensed. She's licensed in the state of California, and we have that verification. What else? I mean,
the only other thing we need is that there's one of the required documentations of residency.
Yeah, and it's their, the Arizona driver's license is provided.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So I didn't see any problems there either. So Dr. Martin will be moving your application to the full board for approval. For licensure by universal recognition, and we meet next Friday.
Great. Thank you so much.
You bet. Okay, let's go ahead and let's just finish this section real quick.
Oh.
Next is Brandon Markle, licensed in Illinois in 2013, graduated from Argosy in Chicago in 2012. Submitted a electricity bill, I think it was. I didn't see any issues with this one.
No issues either. I did not note any. So.
And then you want to take the last one, Merrick?
Yes. I have to open, sorry, the front. Windows here. So Dr. Matthew Mervick, licensed in Wisconsin, graduated from North Dakota, and provided documentation on residence in Wisconsin. Yeah. And it has the verification, SIPACT. I mean, everything looked in order. Did you have anything marked for that?
I don't see any issues with that one either.
Yeah, I don't see either.
So I'd make a motion to move all three applicants in the section to the full board for approval for licensure by universal recognition.
A second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Okay, let's move up to back to A, requesting approval to set for ACCP and licensure. And we can start with Dr. Anderson, and I can take that. All right, this is a first request for additional information. She graduated from ASU counseling program, which is APA approved, submitted 2000 hours for internship from ASU counseling services, submitted a verification form. This is APA approved. Now, there was clarification needed about postdoc, and we received an explanation from Dr. Anderson and her supervisor, and a new form which indicates 896 hours at Spectrum. There was a verification and training plan. But I don't have a total of 3,000 hours. Did I miss something? Ms. Folks, was I looking at the right postdoc form that had 896?
616. Yeah, I have that one, the 896.
Okay. Is there pre-internship hours?
I was going to mention that. I'll look back and see if there were pre-internship hours that were to be applied.
Dr. Anderson, did you submit pre-internship hours?
Yes.
Hi, good morning. Yes, I did. On my initial application, I had submitted pre-internship hours, internship hours, and so my postdoc was just the portion needed to complete the 3,000-hour requirement.
Mr. Chair, committee members, page 103 starts the pre-internship verification. Okay. There are two.
Thank you.
Okay, so ...206 hours done at Sentience. There's sufficient supervision hours. Let's see.
Well, that would reach 3,000.
Yep. Udwalda. And here's a training plan for Sentience. And Udwalda. Okay. So that would be over 3,000 hours. We had references. I don't see any other issues.
I don't either.
Okay.
The only question we had were the postdoc hours.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Dr. Anderson will be moving your application to the full board next week for approval.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
You bet. Have a good day. All right. And let's jump back up to the top. Dr. Medina, you want to start with number one?
Yes. Veronica, hi. Let's see, give me one second. So Dr. Hi graduated from the University of Missouri in St. Louis. It's an AP accredited program. Completed internship at the Phoenix VA, which is also an APA accredited program. Dr. Hai is applying pre-internship hours. And from pre-internship sites, and the hours looked correct. Let's see. I didn't make a note, I'm sorry, of the training plan.
Yeah, I didn't see any in there.
I didn't see a training plan. The letters of recommendation looked good as well. So I think the only comment I have was the training plan that I didn't see it.
So I'm also a little confused about the hours. On page 12 on the summary of all the hours, in the column for total number of prac hours, where it says total number of supervised hours, she put hours of supervision instead of, that should be the total.
I'm sorry, what page are you on, Dr. Meyer?
Page 12.
Okay.
If I may, Mr. Chair, committee members, mm-hmm. That also carried over to the verification, and I emailed them back, both Dr. Stefan and Dr. High, and asked them to revisit the records, and then that was corrected by Dr. Stefan, and so the total number of supervised experience hours ended up being 2,236 on the verification, and then the direct patient contact was the 1,017, but I did not ask Dr. High to change the summary. Since the summary is not the verification, that was something the applicant filled out, not something the verifier filled out.
Right. The other issue we run into, though, is, let's see, without knowing the specifics for each site, we don't know if there was sufficient supervision to count those hours. And I think there's I don't recall. I didn't write down which one I had concerns about, but also there's the Center for Trauma and Recovery. I don't have any explanation for, and so I don't know how many hours that is accounting for. But there's no description of that. We did have, well, we didn't really have a plan for the clinic either, but it's unclear, since that's a separate site, mm-hmm. or maybe a separate rotation. I don't know, but I don't know how many hours are from that site or the other one. So I think it would be clear if that form was corrected, so that we know for each semester and site how many actual hours were done. But we can't, there's no information about the Center for Trauma and Recovery, so we can't count that. But I don't know how many total hours that is.
And the training plans.
And training plans for both.
I did email with her about training plans, and she said that neither her director of training, clinical training at the program, or her site supervisors, they all said that they didn't, there isn't a training plan per se. So would it be the committee's preference to have them do a post training plan?
We've allowed the people to go back and do the training plan after the fact. But there has to be some information about what was going on and for which site.
In each site, in the individual.
Yeah. Okay. Otherwise, she would need to submit postdoc hours.
So Mr. Chair, committee members, for a fair letter, you would like the summary redone and done correctly to account for all the hours, have the verification corrected to account for just the site that has been listed on that page two, or, well, I call it page two of the pre-internship form, the site page, so it's clear, an explanation from the clinical, the director of clinical training concerning that, and then a post training plan, retroactive, I guess.
Well, and they could do a second form for the, what was it called? The trauma.
Center for Trauma.
Yeah. So they can do a second one for that if they need to include the hours. My guess is that we won't need that one. I'm guessing there's enough hours from just the community psychological service location, but yeah, we're going to have to clarify that.
Okay.
Moving on. Next one is Dr. Nina Suvagia. It's a reapplication after failing the ECCC. So this has already been reviewed and approved once, but very quickly graduated from Midwestern, which is APA approved, submitted three locations for pre-internship hours. And it looks like it, at one place it lists 2,500 hours, but the forms only indicate 2,300, but there's still plenty. They had verification and training plans. Internship was 1916 hours in the federal health system. There's verification that's APA approved. And there were references. So I don't see any issues for a
resubmission. Yeah, I did not mark any issues there.
Okay. You want to take the next one?
I'm sorry?
You want to take the next one?
The next applicant is Dr. Michaela Gotze. Dr. Gotze submitted, she got her PhD in clinical psychology from Saybrook University. It is a non-APA accredited program. Dr. Gotze provided all the classes and clarified also a couple of classes that fell into another category that it wasn't, where it wasn't listed here, but it looked to me that all the categories had the number of credit hours. There is an internship verification form submitted from a non-APA and non-APIC internship for 3,328 hours completed in Washington. I did have a question regarding the internship. One of the references is from the internship supervisor. And so in page 103, if I can make it down there, the title in the reference, the title for that is listed for Dr. Gotze is not a psychology resident or psychology intern or anything that indicates training status. In page 103, when asked about the title of the applicant's position, it's listed as a licensed mental health counselor slash psychometrist. So we have in one form, in the internship verification form, that it was completed as an internship, but then in the reference, the title is not listed as an intern.
I did not catch that. Okay.
Yeah. So I would like clarification on that because to me it is confusing. In the on page 80, again, Dr. DiNoto filled it out for the internship or training experience verification, but not, but in the reference is not indicated that Dr. Gotze was a trainee. In the letter also, I will say on page, give me one second. Oh. The letter where Dr. DiNoto, I guess, wrote to the program indicating that it would be a training experience, it was not, I don't think I saw anywhere the word intern or anything along those lines either. It was, would be training here. So that would be page 87. It states, I am pleased to offer a training opportunity to Michaela Gotze, and the location. It says it suggests that we benefit from the opportunity to work with our staff on psychological evaluations. I will serve as her primary supervisor as her time will be spent in evaluations. Michaela has asked for her rotation in the department to begin, it has a start date. So there is allusion there of a training, but not of a title. And certainly in the reference is not listed as a trainee title.
Okay. Yeah, the training plan. Does say student and training and internship, but I'm just looking at the hours. It wasn't all
they were talking.
So I think there's sufficient documentation that it was a training program.
Okay.
I think we could have her clarify that. I think all we'd be doing is asking them to change the title on the reference page, right? Are you wanting more than that? As far as like documentation of title or?
I would want to know what her title was. It looks like, you know, there was a practicum completed there. So all the activities were completed there. So I just don't. Yeah, it was just not clear to me, you know, what. The title was, it wasn't clearly stated in the letter. It wasn't, you know. So clarification on what was the title while Dr. Gotze was there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So Ms. Folks, if you could request clarification on her title during internship, as well as a correction to the reference form. And I'm trying to look. In the electronic form, we had a section that talked about all of their work-related activities. Enlisted title. Do we still get that in the online submission now?
We do not. We did have the, sorry, Mr. Chair, committee members, the request for supervisor's name and their title and license, where they're licensed, has been added to the application. I do not believe we have a field for the applicant to fill out their title and their duties at the different sites.
Actually on page 60, we do. So, and again, she put licensed mental health counselor and psychometrist.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. So this is, you worry about, if she was being billed as her services were being billed for as a master's level licensed independent professional, mm-hmm. and not, this was not a training position. So yes, clarification on not only title, but status as a trainee versus an independent practitioner.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we need. Okay, good catch.
Thank you. All right. It means a lot, Dr. Meyer.
What's that?
It means a lot to me. You typically catch everything.
Not always. Well, and it didn't help when I got through several applications and realized I was looking at last month's. I was in the wrong folder.
Oh.
So restarted. Okay, moving on. Next is Dr. Lori Shirk. This is a new application after filling the EPPP three times. She submitted a new application as well as training plan. I'll come back to that. So we've approved the position or her application multiple times. Graduated from Argosy in 2018, APA approved, submitted 2,087 hours for internship from Borough Hospital, APA approved, verification form was included, 1,970 hours from Arizona Consortium for postdoc, included verification training plan, there were references. So the only issue would be, well, the training plan, it looked like there was a little bit of difference between wait, I might be thinking of a different person. Let me double check that. We did have a training plan. Yeah. Okay. So I, no issues here.
I don't have any issues noted either.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Next.
Dr. Nava Nurani. And Dr. Nurani got her CID from Midwestern, which is Midwestern University, which is an APA accredited program. Completed her internship at Southwest Behavioral and Health Services, which is an APA accredited program, and is is at the DBT Centers of Arizona for the postdoctoral experience. The references looked good. I don't have any issues identified with this application.
Nor do I. Okay. Next is Don Avalos. This is a reapplication. Graduated from Fielding University in 2019, APA approved, completed 2,080 hours internship at the VA in Texas, which is APA approved, verification form was included. Postdoc was 2,080 hours at the Southern Arizona VA. We include there was a verification and training plan. We had references. The only issue is that upon resubmission of her application, she included legal charges that occurred in 2005, and those were not disclosed on her initial application. As folks did catch this, Dr. Avalos submitted a explanation for it, for the lapse. In general, it made sense to me. As an error, she reported she had submitted it on previous applications other than Arizona, so it was an oversight as opposed to an intentional attempt to hide it. So I'm okay with it, but I do think that it should go to the full board for review.
I agree.
Okay. So, I mean, and go to the full board for discussion, not just
approval. For discussion. I agree.
Okay. All right, next.
Dr. Martha Lee Matainen. I apologize in advance. I am probably botching the last name. My apologies. And this is a reapplication and request for accommodations to take the ECCC. It would be the sixth attempt. And the request is for extended time and a distraction-free environment. And there are letters, a letter from a psychiatrist supporting that request. I mean, there is a study plan. Everything looked in order from my end. Dr. Lima Tynan has a doctoral degree in school psychology from Capella University. And yeah, everything else looked in order and it has been approved already. I guess it has.
Mr. Chair, committee members, I do have a question on this one about extended time. How extended, could we be specific? There is extended half time, extended double time, extended time and a half.
I don't think I saw an amount. Hold on, let me go back a bit.
Yeah, I think it, I didn't see a time either. So I would just say time and a half is
time and a half.
You know, the next step.
And my other question is, with these extended times in Arizona, the other option would be a water bottle so they can drink right at their desks instead of having to get up and take breaks. I don't know.
I don't think we should be adding accommodations that haven't been requested.
Okay. Thank you. I was wondering. So that's why I asked.
Yeah. I'm trying to find, this is the one that I didn't see that much difference on the different study plans. And for the number of times that this has been attempted, I felt like that was a concern. So I think the last time she submitted was in December of 2021, and there is a study plan where she lists multiple materials from multiple companies. And breaks it down for studying and testing for each content area. And then on page 7, she's got a new one. Well, I guess the difference is that she says she has a study coach, and I don't know. What that means.
I mean, there are people that can be hired to help you study.
Yeah.
That's what I'm assuming.
Yeah, okay. I guess this, for accommodations, this needs to be discussed by the board anyway, right? By the full board. I would just add that we also include a discussion of, is this a sufficient change to the study plan given the number of times that she's failed the exam.
Mm-hmm.
So. Okay. All right. All right, next. No, we did.
We did.
Dr. Me. Anderson, so.
We're done with that section A.
We need to, let's see. So Dr. High needs more information.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Godsey needs more information. Mm-hmm. And then
Dr. Avalos is going to the before the board for a full board review, right? And
right. So so I make a motion to move Drs. Suva, Gia, Shirk, Norani, and Anderson to the full board for approval for licensure, and Doctors Avalos and
Lima Tainan
to the board for discussion.
Mr. Chair, committee members, your motion was for, you said licensure, but it's for exam and or exam and licensure upon a passing score.
Thank you for exam and licensure. And does the second acknowledge that change?
Yes.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. And so all we have left is, next is credential. So C, requesting approval for licensure by credential. First one, Colleen Character has the National Register of Health Service Psychologists, licensed in Florida in 2003, graduated from Kent State. The issue is that she was disciplined by the Florida board in 2016 after hospitalizing a friend multiple times for whom she was not a provider. I had hoped to talk to her about this if she attended, but it does not. Did we have anybody else join late? Doesn't look like she's here. I guess I had some concerns about this.
I agree that it would be good to hear from Dr. Character.
So, I guess I'm not comfortable forwarding this for a discussion. Well, I guess we could forward it to the full board for a discussion and request that she be here. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if we should have her come to the review committee first. Ms. Pakkinen, is there a standard for how we typically do that?
I'll let Ms. Folks speak to that.
Mr. Chair and Dr. Medina, when the applicant doesn't show and you know you're going to ask, you're going to move this to the full board anyway for a full discussion for approval, that you're not comfortable putting it on the consent agenda. We usually will, or the committee usually moves it forward to the board for substantive review. So it'll be a separate item and invite the applicant to attend so that the board as a total can do a personal interview.
Okay, thank you. That was helpful. So that would be my recommendation, is to move her to the full board for discussion.
I second that.
All right. Let's go ahead and make that a motion then. So move to the full board for discussion. You seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. You want to take the next credential one?
Yes, the next one is for Dr. Robin Hyde. Dr. Hyde is licensed in Montana and North Dakota, and we have a CPQ verification letter for Dr. Hyde, and everything looked in order. I don't have any concerns marked with this particular applicant.
I think Dr. Hardy, is this?
Hardy, yeah. Robin. Did I? I'm sorry. Yes. Okay. Robin, did I say it wrong? I don't know.
That's all right. Okay, so I'd make a motion to move Dr. Hardy to the full board for approval for licensure by credential. Do I have a second?
A second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. All right, now, last section is new for us, which is requesting approval for telehealth registry. Mm-hmm. And, Ms. Folks, I had a question about the signatory requirement. Can you explain that?
Thank you, Dr. Meyer.
Mr. Chair, Kathy, do you want me to take that one?
Please.
So the statutory agent, I think, is the one that may be a little confusing. Is that right, Dr. Meyer? I think that's...
Evidence of securing a duly appointed statutory agent for service of process in Arizona, signed by...
Yes, Mr. Chair. So that provision, which isn't the statute, presumably is so that we as a board can identify who is authorized through the execution of a statutory agent agreement to whom we serve that individual within our jurisdiction. If we were to need to notify them that they're the subject of an investigation. So if they're in another jurisdiction, in the absence of having a statutory agent, our authority, our jurisdiction may not extend to that person in California, New Mexico, or wherever. So this just enables us to, ensure that there's proper service. Mr. Harris, am I missing anything in my description? Oh, you're muted. There you go.
Thank you. No, I don't believe so. Thank you.
So does that have to be a licensed psychologist for us to have jurisdiction over?
Mr. Chair, it does not. You might see it be a law office. It could be just some sort of an agency that... I believe, I'm not certain about this, but is registered with the Arizona Corporation Commission. So, just sort of someone who, an agent who agrees to take on this responsibility if needed.
Yeah, that's correct. There is no professional licensure requirement in the telehealth statutes.
Got it. Okay. Thank you for clarifying that, everyone.
But it doesn't, I'm sorry. I do have a question. It doesn't mean that they are employing the person.
No, correct. No, Mr.
They
Chair.
Can have no relationship other than the statutory agent accepting that responsibility. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay.
Okay. All right. So We have Pamela Singer, licensed in California beginning in 2011. And we have evidence of liability coverage, a statutory agent, no complaints on the practitioner data bank, acknowledgement of having read our codes, and has agreed to all of the stipulations. So I didn't see any problems here.
I did not either.
Okay. All right. Want to take the last one?
Sure. Let's see. Dr. Francisco provided liability insurance information, a statutory agent. There is disciplinary action on record that Dr. Francisco disclosed from 2021 in relation to supervising a psychological assistant that had a licensed, that postdoc license expired for a significant amount of time. And Dr. Francisco learned about it in September, I believe, of 2022. And agreed and supervised work by that person through like October 2022. And there was a consent agreement, and every stipulation of the consent agreement was satisfactorily completed. Yes, that's what I have. There is a liability insurance provider. The National Practitioner Data Bank reflects this incident, as well as Dr. Francisco's response.
So I was a bit concerned about her response to this discipline, especially the response on the response documented on the
data bank
form, that to me it felt like she was kind of minimizing her responsibility and putting the blame on the supervisee and the agency for not catching this. And with the recency of this, I don't feel comfortable approving her until we at least confirm that she understands supervisory requirements here, and takes responsibility for that.
I agree. This is very recent as well.
Yeah.
And I agree with your sort of summary of the explanation as well.
Okay, so I would make a motion to move Dr. Francisco to the full board for discussion, and invite her to attend the board meeting.
I agree. I second that.
All right, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. And I'll make another motion to move Dr. Singer to the full board for approval for telehealth registry.
Second.
All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. All right, moving on to agenda number 5. Are there any new agenda items for future meetings? Hearing none. Moving on to agenda number 6, adjournment. Before we do that, as always, I want to thank Ms. Folks and Pekkanen and Harris for all of your hard work and getting all these applications together. And Ms. Folks, I appreciate the new version of the form that seems to happen each month as you add information that we're looking for. I really appreciate the responsiveness and making this a simple process as possible. So thank you.
Mr. Chair, before you adjourn, I did upload the documents that Dr. Hammer submitted for her postdoc verification, for her written training plan. They're listed as Hammer, postdoc WTP. I didn't know if you wanted to take a quick peek at them, because one of her questions was, are they adequate?
Okay.
Training requirement? And this wasn't in lieu of a training plan?
Yes.
That one page?
There's two pages. One is one says something about a pediatric. There's two different ones. I'm trying to. One is a Word document. One is a PDF.
Oh! I wasn't seeing the Word document. Okay, I was only seeing the PDF. Oh, okay.
I mean,
but this is not a training plan.
Yeah.
It's no, it doesn't. To me, it doesn't mean.
No, this is, yeah, I agree. This is just a schedule.
This will be added the rotations. Yeah. It's a schedule of the rotations and who supervises them, but it's not a training plan between the trainee and the supervisor.
With goals and objectives on what the training consists of. So we'd still need the form corrected as well as a documentation of the training. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else before we adjourn?
Mr. Chair, I apologize. I think that we do need to return to the application discussion for Dr. Francisco. I just felt compelled to double check to make sure I wasn't conflating two different statutes. Remembering that universal recognition, that statute precludes a person from qualifying for a universal recognition license if they've ever been suspended or revoked. Mm-hmm. However, Mr. Harris, if you would please follow along, I did check the telehealth registry statute. Mm-hmm. That the requirements for that practice authorization, that's at 363606. And what I'm seeing in 36-3606 at subsection A4, to qualify, the applicant holds a current valid and unrestricted license to practice in another state that is substantially similar and is not subject to any past or pending disciplinary proceedings in any jurisdiction. So this is clearly more restrictive than what I remembered it to be. And I'm glad that I checked, because I think I really was conflating the two scenarios. So it may be we have someone who doesn't qualify.
Right. That's what I understand by that. Then.
Thank you for that clarification. So then, does it need to go? Well, I guess we could offer her an opportunity to withdraw that application? Or do we move it to the full board for denial?
So that's the board's prerogative. What I think should happen, and Mr. Harris, please correct me if you think I'm giving them misguided suggestions, but we could put it on the board agenda for purposes of allowing the board to make that decision. The agenda item would reflect withdrawal may be considered and granted. Denial is also a decision that the board may make. What are your thoughts about that, Mr. Harris, to put both options in the item?
No, I think that's a great suggestion. And my understanding was one of the reasons why you were, you know, recommending that it go to the board and invite her in so that you could have a discussion before making a determination of whether to, you know, allow a withdrawal, a denial, or to grant.
Mm-hmm. Well, do we even have the ability to approve it and grant that when it doesn't meet the statutory requirement?
You know, I don't have the statute up in front of me. Is it an automatic disqualifier?
That's how I read the statute. Yes.
Thank you. And, Heidi, can you read the statute number again for me, please?
Certainly. Yes. 36-3606. And it's specifically at subsection A4. Would anyone like for me to email that link?
I got it.
Yeah, I've got it.
Mr. Chair, committee members, if I may, for the record, we often see these kinds of statutes followed by a subsection that allows the board its discretion to, if the matter has already been resolved in the other state, that the board can decide to issue the license. That is not, I'm not seeing that. And I think that's what Heidi is confirming as well. It's not there.
And likewise, and that's what I'm looking for. And I don't see it either, not only in four, but in any of the other provisions. So to your point, Dr. Meyer, I think that's right. This is, this would be a disqualifier. So maybe the appropriate thing to do would be to, let her know what the requirements are, why she doesn't meet it, and give her the opportunity to withdraw if that is how the board handles these type of situations.
Well, I'm inclined to give her that option because this is brand new. We barely caught it. So I would prefer to give her the option to withdraw her application. If she chooses not to, then we would move it to the full board for discussion of denial.
Sounds good.
I agree.
And Mr. Chair, so this could be on next week's agenda, but that being said, we have quite a bit of time for the substantive review timeframe. So if this is, too abrupt for the applicant, and she needs to, take some time to ponder this, I think, Kathy and I can check, but I think this could be placed on the August agenda and there would be no time frame violation. So I'm a little concerned about, because she isn't here to hear this, that right. She won't have an abundance of time to ponder this.
That's fine with me. If you get a hold of her and she's okay, we can do it next week. And if not, pass it to the following month.
Very good. Thank you.
Do we need to do a formal motion change?
Yes, please. Yeah, if we could rescind the prior motion and then entertain a new motion.
Okay. What's the format for rescinding the previous motion?
I think if you don't mind just entertaining a motion to rescind the motion to move this to the board for discussion and invite her in to attend that board meeting.
Thank you. Okay, I make a motion to rescind the motion to move Dr. Francisco to the board for discussion. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. And I'll make a new motion to request staff to contact Dr. Francisco to explain the application requirements and offer her the option to rescind her application and within the given time constraints we discussed, if she chooses to proceed, then move to the full board for discussion of denial. Is there a second?
Second.
All right, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. All right, thank you all for that, as we have yet another new category here. Okay. We don't have any new agenda items. All right, so is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Thank you all. See you next week.
Thank you, Dr. Meyer. See you Friday.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone.